Okay, so we're in the book of James, the epistle that James wrote. We're working our way through it so far. And the title of my message today is Traveler's Advisory. This is a Traveler's Advisory, things you should know on the narrow road. So far, James has encouraged us to find joy in trials because the testing of our faith produces perseverance. We learned last week that Satan, the world system, people, places, and things can only bait the hook. It is our free will to bite the hook and buy into the seducing temptation to sin. It is literally our own sin nature that we must put to death by choice in order to successfully persevere in our faith. That's our part. We learn that temptation starts with emotional desire, right? It's an emotion. Then we rationalize that desire in our mind. We willfully conceive a plan to fulfill that desire. And then we act in disobedience to God's word and literally give birth or perform that act, which is sin. But here's the good news. We have the Holy Spirit's dunamis power, explosive power within us to overcome temptation in a trial, even in a hard time. We learn the truth, we learn it, then we know it, and then it sets us free. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we learn it, then we know it, there's the freedom. Just to give a little context and background, I'm going to read you verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. He promises us that being persevering under trial, leaning into the word, leaning on him, trusting him, no matter what we see, there is a crown of life at the end of that. And we will experience that even in the natural by staying on the narrow road, walking in faith. But it's also a promise for eternity as well. Verses 16 through 18, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So every good and perfect gift comes from God. God doesn't change. His mood is not affected by the economy, by our decisions. He's the end from the beginning, right? He knows the whole story, and he knows each one of our stories. He knows. He knows all that stuff that we went through as a kid. Nobody else knows that but you and him. He knows that stuff that still triggers us, gives us pain, makes us feel inadequate. He knows. But he chose us to be born again through the word of truth, that we would be his first fruits, like the human beings that follow him, that live in the Spirit. So now we pick it up this week in verse 19. where James transitions, right? So he talked about having joy in trials, persevering. Then he talked about temptation and overcoming temptation, and that it's really our responsibility to choose in that God or my way. Now he transitions to an explanation of how to listen and what to do. Verse 19 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, everything in this book is true, infallible, able to break chains, able to heal, able to save. But whenever this book of truth, you see, take note of this. Or when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say to you, I'm truly. There's something emphatically being said here. There's an emphasis on, hey, don't forget this. First, let's look at the obvious. You look at this and it says, be quick to listen, right? You think, okay, I should really hear. When people are talking to me, instead of being just ready to respond with what I want to say, I should really train myself to listen. Okay? That's good advice. Be slow to speak. That's right off the pages, seems like, okay, think about what I'm about to say. Don't be hasty and just letting it fly. But just take a moment, think about it, and respond. That's also good advice. Be slow to become angry. Okay, tell me don't take everything personal. Don't be so serious. You know, don't be so quick to lash out at people. Take a moment, pause. That is also good advice. That's why I wanted to share that. But now let's look at the context of what James was really talking about. And to do that, so when we study the word, if we're unsure about context, we look at some verses or a verse before and some verses or a verse after, just to see what James is talking about. Because James isn't just cherry picking ideas out of the sky. He's got a flow. So we look at verse 18 that we just read. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Then we go a little after, and we'll get to this, is verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So James is talking about the word. And so when he says be quick to listen, he means be intentional about listening to the word of God. Be quick to hear what God says. And what God desires, be quick to know the word. Be intentional about it. Be slow to speak. Listen means, the Greek word for listen, is be quick to listen, is akouo. And it means pay attention, understand, obey. So literally, we could reason, be quick to obey the word of God. Now, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak your own point of view. Be quick to listen to the word of God. We want to listen to what is a godly way, and be slow to speak about what you think. He's saying, don't be so hasty to give your own advice out. Don't be so hasty to maybe even try to be kind of throw out some Christianese on somebody that you really don't understand. Right? I mean, I think we've all done it. But But here's why. And I'll share three things. Three things that I know you've heard that are not biblical. One is God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that one? God helps those who help themselves. Romans 5:8 is the truth. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is we're all helpless. And once we understand that, and we understand that God calls us to be humble and to be servants, we're to serve in our capacity, in the sphere of influence that we have around us daily. We're to serve others. A servant's heart. Jesus came to serve. And then he died in our place. But he came to serve. He washed his disciples' feet. He taught people about the real heart of God. And he said, love above all things. Love each other the way you love yourself. Love your brother and sister. Love wins. Number two, money is the root of all evil. That's almost right. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Here's the thing. Money is money. God does not want us, if we spend our lives chasing the dollar and we put that above and beyond what our relationship with Christ is, we fall away. We get deceived. We actually spend our life doing something that is not eternally valuable. Now, does God want us to work hard and take care of our families? Of course. Is he bummed out when we have nice stuff? No. But he is bummed out when our stuff has us. When money becomes our chief focus of what life is all about, we've missed it. We've missed it. God owns it all. And he calls us to be faithful in that. We're merely stewards. And we're all in different places financially. But let's not let money be the source of our fear, be the source of our focus. And God is his desire for us is to so know him that, Lord, I know you fill me to spill me. You've called me to be generous. You said you own it all. You are the one who owns it all, God. Everything that was created in you, through you. You know the end from the beginning. You allow things and you don't allow things. You give and you take away. Therefore, what I get is yours. And when you've called me, you said, test me in this. Give back a portion, right? And it's like, so I challenge the church and you're all in different places. But here's the thing. Some people thinking tithing's just Old Testament. It's not New Testament. And I say, well, the New Testament church sold everything that they had and shared it together. And I don't think God is necessarily asking us to do that. What he is, though, is that you invest back. Back, if you call this church your home, give what you can with joy and faith. It doesn't have to be 10%. It can be. But what you can joyfully and faithfully sow back into the community. And then be generous with others. You see somebody, that's why we have grab and give bags. We provide it for this church because we know it is It's so much better to be a blessing, right? It's better when you pull up at a red light and somebody's standing there to hold a sign and you got some food. And you say, you know what? God bless you. Hang in there. God loves you. So do I. It's something. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And I understand that we're in different places, again, financially. This isn't about that. It's about our faith. It's like, God, I trust you with everything except my wallet. You laugh because you understand. That's bondage. Truly. God is more than faithful. And he says, test me. So I'll leave it right there. I'm not going to spend 45 minutes on that. Number three, God will not give you more than you can handle. That sounds right. But here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, the truth is have you ever said this to God? I can't take one more thing. Right? And yet, here we are. By the grace of God. See, he won't give us more than we can take with him. He will always be with us. Alone, without him, yeah, a lot's more than I can handle. Because God does magnificent things in our marriages where we never knew how to do relationships. God does magnificent things with childhood trauma and stuff that is so deeply embedded in us that we behave certain ways and we don't know why. But it's because of the way we were brought up, what we saw, how we were talked to, the way we were treated. God does magnificent things when he heals us of those things. And he does. He heals us. The word of God heals our soul. He heals our spirit, heals our mind, and heals our bodies. He's still active in all of that. All of that. But he'll give you more than you can handle on your own. Or he'll allow. God allows what he allows. He's not a mean kid with a magnifying glass up there going, oh, I gotcha. Here's another trial for you. He just allows what comes into our life to actually exercise our faith. Because we said it last week, faith that hasn't been tested, it's weak faith. That's not even faith, right? It's a theory. Once you've been tested, that faith is strong faith. I've walked through that and I've come out the other side and I found that God is faithful. I've walked through that and I've experienced the scare of it and I've walked through it and I've found that God is faithful. That is a strong faith. That's why God allows that stuff in our lives, to build our faith, that we would lean into him, not run, but lean into his promises. I don't understand what's going on, Lord, but I trust your heart. I trust you in this. I'm not going to run. I'm going to hold fast. So then it says, so we heard, be quick to listen to the word of God, be slow to speak our own agendas, but be slow to become angry. What does that mean? Well, when the word of God convicts us, there's a moment there where you get almost offended by it. Don't be angry. Be slow in that. Be careful in that. Let the word of God convict your heart and be okay with it. Know that that is just God reaching out and touching you to move you to repentance. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So when the word of God convicts us, if any of this scripture today feels like you just got punched in the mouth, I get it. Let it. Let it. Gosh, you know what, Lord? I can do better in this area. I'm sorry, God. I repent. I will work on that with you. Keep my heart soft so that it does sting when I do things that sin against you. When I say things that sin against you, sting me. I'm not going to be angry with you, God. When we get angry, we don't listen well, do we? We create walls of unbelief and doubt. We fracture ourselves and do not produce the righteousness that God desires in us and through us. So be careful. Anger has never produced anything godly and righteous. Verse 21, therefore, because I said this, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent or abundant, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It says, for this reason, therefore, for this reason, get into action. Be intentional about your sin. Stop being passive when it comes to falling short of God's glory, of his best. That's what it means. Just falling short of his best. Don't be passive. Quit making excuses about your behavior and begin to admit it to yourself and adjust to it. Again, there is no condemnation, but this is meant to bring us to repentance, to lift us up into the resurrected life, that where we can operate in love and in truth and flow in the goodness of God. That's what it means to be blessed. I'm right with God. I've done it good, and I have genuine happiness. Genuine. I have not returned evil with evil. I've returned evil with love. I have not continued down this road of once I was in this habitual sin and God saved me, broke me from it, and I partnered with him by choosing a different way. And it feels good not to be bound to that sin, bound to that darkness, because all it does is let in darkness. And why would we want to do that? So he says, get rid of all of moral filth and evil. What? He calls us to our part in it, because we're responsible for what we let in here. Not everything, but most things. We're responsible for what we let in here, and we're responsible for what we let out of here. That's our part. God's saying, rid yourself of any moral filth and evil that is so abundant. It's abundantly around us. The TV, the movies, the internet, unhealthy relationships that we just can't seem to break. Is any of that bad in and of itself? No. But when you prefer, and listen, I understand, okay? As a human being, I understand. But when we are just filling our minds, right, with the things of the world, the programs, we are programmed. I always say this, have a healthy diet in your life. I know we're all going to watch TV again. I know the internet is part of everybody's got a phone in their purse or their pocket. It's part of the culture. But There is very little that is uplifting and going to feed your soul with goodness on that phone or on that TV. Be careful what you watch. Be aware. If you feel a conviction, don't shuffle it off. Let it, you know what? Maybe I should quit watching this. You know what? Maybe I should watch something else. You know, maybe I should get in my Bible. Maybe I should read a little bit. Because if I'm feeding myself the truth, it is going to give me discernment. It's going to encourage me. It brings that, those hard places in our heart back to sensitive, because I'm filled with the Spirit. The things I used to be able to watch, I can't really watch anymore. It's not bringing any kind of life. Well, Pastor Chris, being a little legalistic, I mean, it's just a TV show. I get it. And like I said, in and of itself, it's just a TV show. But are you trying to fill up your tank with that? Because it's not going to feed your spirit. It won't. Is it a little time off? Are you relaxing? Sure. But are you also making it a point to get with God and get in His Word? And fill your spirit, feed your spirit, to feed your spirit the Word. When we get active in fighting sin, we are much more capable of receiving the truth and operating the truth that saves all the time. You know, because we are saved, right? Positionally, you give your life to the Lord. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He fills you. You can't lose your salvation. But sanctification is a process. So that is a continuance of salvation. So we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Being saved is saving us from ourselves on a regular basis. The Word of God saves us and sanctifies us and changes us, so we don't react like we used to. We don't, we're not as selfish as we were before we got saved. We, you know, all these things that begin to change, because all I did was commit to spending some time with God. All I did was learn the Word so that I knew the Word, and the Word sets me free. There's no cutting corners like that. That's the way it goes. So James even takes it to another level. And we just read this in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word, right? And so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Listening to the Word, you know, going, yeah, that is right. That is truth. But it's a whole nother cha-cha to put it into action. It's a whole different ball game when you're faced with something that triggers you or someone that makes you angry, and to really put that into practice. It's going to take fellowship with the Lord. Otherwise, you'll just do like you always do. Trust me. What I'm preaching today has been active in my life over the last 20 years walking with the Lord. And it has not been a perfect walk. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. My wife is here. But there's been progress. See, God isn't expecting for any of us to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. And now we are in Christ. So what is he trying to do here? He doesn't expect perfection, but he's trying to change the direction of our affection. that we would go, you know, I could watch TV or I could listen to some worship. You know, I could listen to regular music because, you know, it's kind of better. It's what a lot of us think, right? It's just better music. I would listen to worship, but, you know, I need rock. I get it. It's not about that. Once you begin to fellowship with God and you hear the words, man, you can feel your spirit going, And your mind begins to focus on God and healing, peace. Are you blowing it if you listen to rock? No, not necessarily. But the more that you pick God, the more that you pick to fill your mind with His Word, fill your heart and your mind with worship and focus on Him, I guarantee you, there's more peace. There's less fear. You will blow your own mind on how you deal with things. Like, I can't believe I didn't just go off on him. I really had peace. I held my tongue. Things will change. That's why James is throwing this out here like this. Not to condemn us, but it should be something that we go, you know what? That makes sense. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to do what the Word of God says. Second John 1:6 says this, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His commands is that you walk in love. So it's love is an action word. It's not a feeling. Keith said it during communion. No greater love. There is no greater love than this, than one would lay down their life for another. It's a picture of what marriage should be. Two people laying down their lives for one another, caring for one another above themselves. And in our relationship with God, Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. So He did the work. He did the heart. He did the heavy lifting. Right? He lived the perfect life that you and I were supposed to live in thought, word, and deed, didn't sin at all. Then He willingly went to the cross, died, and paid for our sins. The wrath of God was put upon Him, not you and I, but upon Him. And because He was perfect, because there was no sin in Him, He rose from the dead. And He ascended to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. And so, all of us have an inheritance that we get to draw from. And that is to be able to do this superpower called love. Well, it is a gift from God that you and I would be servants to each other. Now, there's different, obviously, those who are married are going to, there's an intimacy there that there's nothing like. You know, there's an intimacy that we have with God that there's nothing like it. But we can serve each other. We can show each other what love looks like. You can show your coworkers what love looks like. You can show your family, which can get tricky. Amen? The closest people to you. The ones who are like, yeah, I don't know if you're really a Christian or not. You know, the ones who doubt. The ones who treat you like they always treated you. You show them what love is. Because you get it from God. And they will eventually notice. They'll be the last ones probably in your life. But they will notice. You can't fight love. You cannot beat up on the love of Christ. You can't. It's perfect. Perfect. Verses 23-25. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So to listen to the word and just go home and do whatever you want to do is like looking at your face in the mirror and forgetting who you are. We all know what we look like. Even when I know what I look like right now. I mean, I have a picture because I've looked at myself enough times in the mirror to know what I look like. It would literally be like me walking away going, I don't remember what I look like. Am I 6'4"? With a six pack? But whoever looks intently into the word, into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be right with God. They will have genuine happiness and they will be prosperous when I say that in the things of God. The things that really matter, you will prosper. So intently, the Greek word is parakipto. It means to bend over. What's that? And really look at something. It means to really look into the word. Don't just flippantly read. You know, pick something. First of all, get yourself a Bible that you can understand. Okay? I like the ESV or the NIV, but the NLT is super easy to understand. If you're not a big reader of the Bible, get yourself an NLT, and I promise you, you will understand Scripture. Start there. Doesn't matter if you don't understand it, right? Even if you read it and don't understand it, what good does that do? So we look intently into the mirror that shows us our true self, who we really are as mankind, as a human being. But we'll see ourselves in here, good, bad, and all everything in between. We look intently into this Bible. We begin to see our real self, and then we look into the perfect law of that gives freedom. Love is in and through every page. Jesus Christ, from front to back, the Bible points to Jesus. Front to back, that is what gives us the freedom. For the word, you will know the word and the word will set you free. You'll be free from people, places, and things. Did I already say that? You'll be free from fear, lack, fear of death, fear of people, fear of any situation. Because you know, God is for me. Who can be against me? Yes, I'm going through this. Yes, and you even begin to say things like this. Lord, you've brought this to me, so you'll get me through this. If you brought me to this, you'll get me through this. I trust you. Now, help me look like I really belong to you through this. May the things that I say, may the things that I do really glorify you, because I know this is some kind of a test. It is meant to build my faith, and it's meant to make me stronger in my faith. It's meant to show me where I'm weak And it's meant to show me where my faith is strong. So God, let me get through this and learn every single thing you want me to learn so I don't have to go around this mountain again. You don't have to put me through something similar to break me of something that you want broken off me, God. Amen? The word blessed is makarios. It means to receive God's favor and to have genuine happiness. And we all want God's favor, right? I do. I want the favor of God on my life. That is truly to be blessed. Verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The word for religion is thrasea, and it means worship. So let me read that again. Those who consider themselves worshipers and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their worship is worthless. That word tight rein is, this is a tough one, guys. Chalinagogeo. Chalinagogeo. It means to keep it in check. It means that, look, again, we're not going to do it perfect. My golf buddy's here, Brad. He knows I let some cuss words go out on the golf course. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like I got it all together. I've reached this spiritual plateau where I can just preach at you. This is meant, again, to change the direction of our affections. Put a check on your mouth. Yeah, you're going to say something stupid. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to just be okay with what I just said. I'm not just going to let it roll, make excuses. This is the way you made me. You know, I'm from the south side of the kingdom. You know, I want to be better, Lord. I know you have better. It's that heart. Because if you just say whatever you want, whenever you want, it says you're deceiving yourself. And your worship is worthless. And that word is mataeos. And it means empty and useless. It means this is what you don't want to do. Come to this church and say, check, I went to church on Sunday, boom, check the box. Now I'm just going to go live how I want. Whether you consciously think that or subconsciously, you do not want to be in that position. Because you're just playing church. And that's what James is just saying. Hey, heads up, don't play church. Don't play church. Be intentional. Be intentional with your tongue, with what you say. Be intentional with learning the word. It's not some, you know, this is what we do. And if you come to church, you have to read your Bible and that's it. This is what we do here. No, it's the truth is in here for you. The power is in here for you. When nobody else, you can reach nobody else, when it's just you and you're in your own thoughts, a dangerous neighborhood sometimes. Amen? Yeah. You have the truth to combat it. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. That's not what you think about me, God. That's the way I used to be, devil, but I ain't that person anymore. I'm born again. I got the favor of God on my life. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm forgiven. And I am being sanctified by a holy, righteous, perfect God who loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last verse, verse 27. Religion or worship that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You want pure worship? Take care of people that don't have anybody else. Take care of the ones that don't have, you know, can't. He uses an example of orphans and widows because they have no one else. You want to be pure worship? You want to do pure worship? Take care of others. Be Jesus to others in your life. You don't have to be a theologian to love somebody. You don't have to be a theologian to lay down your life. Spend some of your precious time serving somebody else. That is pure worship. That is exalting Jesus in your life. You don't have to quote scripture at them. Just love on them. Give them, if the Holy Spirit moves you to share scripture with them, absolutely. I hope you lead people to Jesus. It's the best. If you've never done it, you should try it. Talk about feeling like, wow, that's why I'm here. Wow, that's why I'm here. And to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. The world has its own agenda for us. And it is to be divided. That is to be insecure. That if we just had this or that, the right pharmaceutical drug, we'd be okay. The right car, the right credit card. Nothing's ever going to be okay. You better get your doomsday package. That's our responsibility. To fill our minds with the Word of God so we don't pollute ourselves with the things of the world. We don't let the world system ideologies become part of ours. We're in this world. We need to be active in it, but we're not of this world. We're eternal beings on the road to a perfect place where there'll be no more sin, no more sadness, no more sickness. So James is encouraging us to keep the main thing the main thing. You're here on purpose for a purpose, to make a difference here. You want to make the world a better place? Love the people around you. It makes the world a better place. Amen. Amen. And we can do that, right? So I'll end with this. You know, I don't ever want to end a message without that offer of salvation. And listen, it's not the prayer that saves you. You can pray this prayer, not mean it, and it's just another prayer. But if you mean this, it's surrender. Lord, I give you my life. Help me. Come into my life. Help me and change me. I want to be different. God is faithful. There will be a sanctification process in that. And by the way, anybody can take a snapshot of your life and go, I don't know if they're saved or not. But it's not up to us. Between you and God. And He knows. And He's faithful. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you know you haven't been living for Him and with Him, just want to rededicate your heart. I want you to raise your hand right now and I'll pray with you. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, church. Pray this prayer with me, guys. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. And I thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. Today, I am yours and you are mine forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Love you guys. See you next week.